Turn to Psalm 29 this morning just to start off. Actually, I really want to consider this psalm and look at a theme that's in this. It really has this powerful theme of the voice of the Lord and the majesty and the power of His voice to work in heaven and in earth and in the lives of men. And so I wanted to just consider this. It's a psalm of David, and it was written when he was fleeing from Saul in the wilderness of Judah. And some have entitled this psalm the Psalm of the Thunderstorm. And you can see why in verse 3 it says, "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon many waters." And, you know, you see this God who thunders in the waters. You know, there's few things as powerful as water. You know, you can look at the effects of storm, and yes, it's the wind, but when those waves come, you know, in power, they just wash everything away. And in fact, I like watching documentaries, my wife and I, and we watched one documentary about, you know, just the power of water moving. And, you know, when floods are released, there's a place out in Washington State called the Scablands, and it's like that because at one point there was a lake of water that ruptured, and it just washed through that area, and it just carved out these huge canyons all at one time because of this massive amount of water. And so there's that, the power of that water. And you can kind of have that visual representation. We all know the power of a flood coming through to wash things away. Well, the Lord here is saying through David, the voice of the Lord is powerful. His voice has that same power as the water that flows through and washes things away, that removes obstacles. And so it's thought that David was composing this psalm, beholding some of the great storms that could happen in Israel. And of course, if you've ever seen about Israel, you know, it's a desert place, but when it rains up in the mountains, it's amazing how these canyons can be dry as a bone in one minute, and the next minute there's a flash flood coming through, and anything there just gets washed away. And so that's where David is. He's beholding the locality, and it's speaking to him about the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit's speaking to him of what the Lord is like. And it talks about the seven voices of the Lord. You know, Revelation also talks about the mystery of the seven thunders. Now, it says that we're not to know what that is, so we won't speculate, but there's that aspect of God thundering. You know, there were seven enemies of Israel that David subdued and defeated. And so you could say that the Lord was thundering through him. There's also seven things the Lord hates. And so he wants to defeat and destroy his enemies through his people. And so he gives us the power of his voice, of his word, the written word. But, you know, as he speaks to us and quickens us in our hearts, there's power there. And that's what he wants us to know, that as we seek his voice and the leading of the Spirit, there is great power held there to be released in our lives. And so that's why the Lord wants us to cultivate that ability to hear His voice, to be led by Him. And verse 4, again, the voice of the Lord is powerful. If we didn't understand that already, it's powerful. And, you know, the worlds, when we consider the beginning of all things, the worlds, the universe, God just spoke them into existence. You know, we know with Adam, he used some of the things that were created, the dust of the earth and so forth, and he created Adam. But where did the dust come from, right? Where did the elements of that we study, you know, in chemistry, where do they all come from? Well, they came when the Lord spoke a word, and they came into existence. That's pretty awesome to consider. You know, when you think of the size of our sun and the vastness of galaxies and the number of galaxies. I mean, there's like a billion galaxies out there. It's hard for us to imagine. But all the Lord did was speak it. And it all came into existence. And so the Lord wants to do things. You know, just as He spoke and brought life in the universe and on the world, His Word. He wants to speak to us and bring life and bring new things to pass. Now, God's voice is emphasized in an even greater way in the New Testament than it was in the Old Testament. Now, we know the Lord spoke to His people. They were a little afraid of His voice. You know, you kind of wish, you get the sense that the Lord didn't want them to be as afraid. He was inviting them to come, but, you know, so they told Moses, you know, let the Lord speak to you, and then you speak to us. But, you know, that kind of limited them. But we see this type of how the Lord wants to speak to His people, especially in the New Testament. You know, it was told Moses, Moses twice was told to, you know, bring water from the rock. And, you know, the first time he struck it, right? He took his stick and he just gave that rock a big whack, and it opened up and water came out. And, you know, but that was kind of like the Old Testament. The law was like the rod, and you know, you followed God. You knew if you were following God the right way, you didn't get the rod on you. But if not, then you had the rod. You know, it came down, and that's how they followed the Lord back then, right? They followed those ceremonies, and if they didn't get that right and they were defiled, they had to repent and offer sacrifices and so forth. But, you know, the second time, the Lord told him, Moses, just speak to the rock. Just speak a word, you know, representing of what He wanted to do in the new covenant. You know, and that's why the Lord took it really seriously when Moses said, well, I'm just going to strike the rock again. This, because these people, they need a rap on the head. I wish I could do it to them. So Moses did it on the rock instead, and he got in trouble. But really, because it was a type, the Lord wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to those rocks, to those obstacles in our lives, and He wants to remove them by the power of His voice. And He wants to replace that rod of His law, His do's and don'ts, right? He wants to replace it with His living Word. Because when He speaks to us, we're made alive and life is brought forth. Of course, sometimes when we don't listen, then the rod comes, right? Then the Lord gets our attention somehow. But really, He just needs to speak and water comes forth. Victory, healing, strength, you know, overcoming in a situation. Another verse, another psalm, in Psalm 107:20 says, He sent His word and healed them. He didn't just, you know, He didn't send the prophet to lay hands and smite this sickness and it was healed. It says He sent His word and healed them. And that's why we want to emphasize the power of the Word of God being spoken into our hearts, whether as we're reading our Bibles or hearing a sermon or, you know, whatever it can be, that where we have that atmosphere where we can hear the Lord and have His Spirit speaking to our hearts and quickening us, that's where we receive. That's where we can be blessed, where we can grow, where we can be healed. And that's why we want to pray, Lord, speak to me today. You know, don't let it go too long without me hearing Your voice, without sensing Your leading and Your speaking in my life and the quickening of Your word, because we need life. Right? The longer we go without that, the longer we go without that life of the Spirit. And so that's why we need to pray that often. All right, going back to Psalm 29 and see other aspects of the power of His voice. It says in verse 5, it says, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, and the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Now, a cedar is a pretty big tree. It can get really tall, and it can become mighty. That's what they used to build part of the temple and many of the buildings in David's day. And it was powerful, but it was also a symbol, you know, because historically, Lebanon was the enemy of Israel, and today it is as well. But it speaks of that cedar of Lebanon. You know, you can have an enemy, and it's not easy to remove a tree. I don't know if you've ever had to work with trees and cut them down or trim them or anything like that. I've got a massive tree in my yard. I know Pastor Jason's got a tree he's trying to get rid of there, and it's a lot of work, and they're hard. They're costly to get rid of, and you know, you gotta really work at it. But here's the Lord saying, I can destroy trees. I can break them. You know, He doesn't send His armies or His angels. It says, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. You know, God wants to do that. Of course, we can talk about this. There's that natural representation of the tree, but there can be a spiritual representation. Sometimes the tree can have kind of a negative connotation. You know, someone once had a vision of three generations of people. They had a vision of a grandmother, and in her heart they saw this little plant. Right? It was a little plant, and it was kind of a weed that needed to be taken out of her heart. It was just some little aspect of her character that could have been removed, and it would have been good. But then they saw that it wasn't removed, and then in the mother, right, the second generation, it was a bush. It was quite big, and I don't know if you've ever had to try to dig out a bush here in Florida. That's a hard work. You know, you can spend an afternoon of backbreaking work with a pick trying to get a bush out. It's a lot harder than when it's a little plant that you can pull out by the roots. But then he continued on in what he saw, and he said, in the granddaughter, it was a tree. It was something huge. You know, so what remained in one generation got passed down until it was something that was very powerful. You know, and sometimes we can struggle with things in our lives because our dad or granddad or, you know, whatever, and they've passed down some quality to us that we can struggle with. And sometimes we can say, well, you know, my grandfather struggled with anger, and my dad struggled with anger, so I guess that's just who I am and how I'm going to become. But the Lord is speaking here, saying that my voice can break the cedars of Lebanon. I can break those things that you struggle with, break those enemies that stand before you, so that you can be victorious. And it reminds me of the words of John the Baptist, you know, that he was quoting Isaiah. But in Luke 3 and verse 4, it says that he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. But then in verse 5, he says what happens is every valley is filled. Right? Valleys have a lot of volume to them. But the Lord says, I'm going to fill those. And every mountain is brought low. You know, we have our valleys that we have to go through. We have our mountains that we face. Right? They kind of stand between us and victory. They stand between us and what God wants to do in our lives and how he wants us to overcome and help others. And we say, well, how am I ever going to get past this mountain? What did Christ say about mountains? Well, he said in Matthew 21, verse 21, if you have faith, you'll say to this mountain, and it's also, you know, faith doesn't have to be very big. It could be like the faith of a mustard seed, right? If you have a little faith, if you have even an inkling of the voice of the Lord, of his word in your heart, then you can say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. That's the power of his word operating in our lives. If we can get a hold of that, if we can cry out for it and say, Lord, speak to me about this situation. Lord, I've got this family situation and I'm desperate to get an answer here. You know, Lord, speak to me. And he gives us that one little word, and it can give us such direction, such power to pursue this situation until that it's dealt with and God brings victory in that. And so the process is we realize we have a mighty tree, a mountain in our lives keeping us from increasing in strength and in life and in health, and we cry out, Lord, send your word. And we begin to obey that word. That's the key part. If we have the word but we don't do anything about it, it does us no good. But when we follow that word, then we can speak to that mountain, be thou removed. That's the power of the word of God in our lives. It goes on in Psalm 29, verse 7. It says, the voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. That's an interesting thing to say about the voice of the Lord. It divides the flames of fire. Well, when you consider it, where else have we seen flames of fire upon God's people? We consider the New Testament. We talked about the power of the New Testament versus the Old, that God wanted to increase his power on his people. And you can read in Acts 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together, they were united in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven a mighty rushing wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared cloven tongues like a fire that sat upon each of them. And so here is the disciples. And I love the picture of what's going on here, especially when you consider what had been happening with the disciples about a month or so earlier. Maybe especially 3 months earlier. They weren't so unified, were they? Jesus was walking, and they were behind him, and they were arguing, "I'm going to be greater than you. When we get to heaven, I'll be at his right hand, and you're going to be at my feet there, and you're going to have to be doing my bidding in heaven, and that's going to be like that for all eternity." So I'm sure that argument did not go over well and cause a lot of unity, and the Lord had to address that. But then, here they are, united, in one accord. They were like one person, one instrument in the hand of the Lord to do his will. They were transformed by the power of God. And they stood up that morning and collectively, they, with Peter as the head, they led 3,000 people to the Lord at once. A pretty productive morning. But that happened as they received a word from the Lord, and they obeyed it. Of course, we know the word of the Lord to them was Luke 24:49, where it said, "Wait in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high." But they had to wait. All right? And we know that there were 120 that were up there in the upper room. That must have been a pretty big upper room for 120 guys. But we know that there were more, weren't there? All right? Paul said there were 500 who saw him on the mount, who saw him ascend up, but there were only 120 who waited. They received the power because they received the word in their hearts. The others, I think they were blessed. They saw the Lord ascend to heaven, and they wanted to meet with the Lord. I'm sure they wanted that power as well, but they didn't receive that word. That word was not effective in their hearts, because they didn't wait. But those who waited, we know that precious verse in Isaiah, those who wait upon the Lord, and really it's waiting upon his voice, waiting upon his word and receiving that word and that instruction and walking in that way, they shall be renewed. They'll receive strength. They'll mount up to the heavens as an eagle. And so that's the power of waiting upon the word of the Lord in our life. It's always tempting to do something, because how many of us know that the word of the Lord does not always come according to our time frame or when we want him to speak to us? Sometimes we have to wait longer for that word than we want to. But when we wait upon his word, we can be clothed with power. I love that the wording there. It says that the Lord, or the promise to them in Luke 24 was, wait until you are clothed with power. A new garment came upon them by the Spirit of God. And, another example in the Old Testament was Solomon. Solomon, as he was young and endeavoring to follow the instruction of his father and mother, the Lord appeared to him and said, "Solomon, what would you like? I'll give you anything. Just ask." And that's kind of a unique portion in Scripture where the Lord kind of just opens up heaven and says, "I'll give you whatever blessing you want." But Solomon said, "Lord, I need understanding. Lord, I need wisdom." And so the Lord, it says, he gave him a new anointing to understand and lead God's people. But as he responded to the voice of the Lord and to the wisdom of God, he was clothed with something from heaven. And God wants to do that. Now, of course, it's invisible. It'd be nice if we can see the beautiful garments that the Lord clothes us with here on earth. Our angels can see it, but we can't. But we can believe by faith. God wants to clothe us with new things from heaven, but it comes by hearing his word, by seeking his word, by following, by being led by his word. Verse 9, back in Psalm 29. It says, "The voice of the Lord makes the hinds," makes the deer to give birth to calve. And so here's that idea again of that when the Lord speaks, He brings new life. He creates with His word. He brings birth with His word. You know, kind of coming back to Moses and the rock. Rock is a dead matter, right? There is nothing living. There's nothing lively about a rock. It is dead. There's no life in it. And sometimes there has to be a death before life can come. You know, where our desires and our emotions and our ambitions and our thoughts, what we think is right, we have to put that on the cross and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, Abraham, the father of our faith, had to be brought to that same experience, didn't he? To have a death experience where God asked him, give me your son. And that wasn't just give me your son, it was give me the promise. Give it back to me. I know I promised it to you, but I want you to give it back to me, and I'm going to take the life of your son. And you're going to be back to square one. And that's really what's so remarkable about Abraham, about his life, is just when you consider what he was willing to let go. He was willing to let go of everything he wanted, everything he desired in life, in order to please God. And I think that's what God is looking for. You know, what are we following Him for? Are we following Him for the benefits? There's a lot of benefits for following the Lord, aren't there? There's a lot of benefits, you know, and blessings that we can experience. The good in knowing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But, you know, we don't want to, our main reason for following the Lord to be the benefits. We want it to be to bring Him pleasure, because that's why we were created, as it says in Revelation. You know, to bring Him pleasure. And so Abraham was at that place where he was willing to do the will of the Lord no matter what. But of course, God delighted in that, and Abraham became the father of faith. And so God might give us a promise, right? Or give us, you know, desires or so forth to be used in a certain way, and it seems like the opposite. But yet, as we continue in the word of the Lord, so that the word can work in us, God can bring life from death. Because He can speak that word and bring life to what it doesn't seem that there's life there. All it takes is a word from the Lord. It's like Ezekiel 37, when the Lord brings him in front of that valley and it's full of dry, dead bones. That's about as opposite of alive as you can get, right? All the life has withered away and it's just dead. And so the Lord brings him there and says, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And I like his reply. He says, Lord, you know. Only you know, Lord. But in verse 2, it says, prophesy, speak to these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Because I will cause breath to enter into you, you'll live, you'll know that I am the Lord. And so life was brought to these dead bones by the word of the Lord. You know, we can know without a doubt that God is in something. When He speaks something that was dead in our lives, and He brings life to it. There's no doubt. That's the resurrection power of God working in us. When we, you know, we've allowed God to bring death to some desire or some dream or something that we've wanted to do, and we yield it to Him. And then He brings it back, and it's so much better. Because that life comes by His Spirit, through His Word. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve. One last thought is in verse 10. The Lord sits upon the flood. The Lord sits as king forever. Literally, this means the Lord reigns over the flood. He is the king. He controls the floods. And, you know, we know that from Noah's day. He controlled the flood in Noah's time. And because of the earth and the destruction that came, He said, I'll no longer, you know, I won't let that happen again. And He gave them the covenant of the rainbow. So he controls the flood. He controls the earthquakes and the tsunamis and so forth in our day. He can keep us through every situation because, as it says in verse 11, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And that's the power of the voice of the Lord in our lives. He, as we open our hearts to his word, as we're seeking his word, he will be king over the floods. And sometimes the floods can be very overwhelming. As I'm sure we've all experienced overwhelming situations in our life when it seems like the flood is looming over us. Or maybe it's come and it's even brought destruction. But the Lord reigns. He sits over the flood. And we don't have to worry or fear, because even what's been destroyed, he just has to speak to us and bring life again. And so we want to open our hearts to the voice of the Lord, because that's where the real power lies, in his seven voices, seven aspects of how he wants to lead us and move in our lives. And I just want to close with one last verse. This is in Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5, because it really shows us how we can apply his word to our hearts. It's actually a picture of Christ in his life, as Isaiah prophesies of it. And it says, Isaiah 54 through 5, it says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, and I know how I should speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakens morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear. I was not rebellious. I didn't turn away." And so here is kind of the prophetic of the life of Christ, and how we have that picture of Christ received his words from his heavenly Father morning by morning, and how he learned to speak a word in season. You know, I love how it says he wakens my ear, and literally that means he uncovers my ear. He opens my ear. You know, and sometimes I wonder how deaf I am to the voice of the Lord and the things of his Spirit. And I know I am, because I often think a good comparison is a radio. You know, the old time radios, you had to turn the knob, and you know, we've lost that idea today, that concept, because there's not a lot of those left today, or you got to turn the knob and tune in. But you know, really, I think that's how it is. The voice of the Lord is always speaking. He's always speaking to us. You know, like wisdom stands on this street corner crying out, if you'll hear my voice, I'll lead you in the right way. The problem is we're tuned to another station, and we're missing so much. But if we can tune our ears today, Lord, open my ear, uncover it even more today, dig out more. Sometimes our ears are blocked too, and we need some stuff taken out so that we can hear. And so that's how Jesus, when he was on earth, he learned to hear the voice of his Father morning by morning. And you can kind of imagine he would wake up every morning and hear it, get instruction from his Father. Maybe one morning he woke up and the Father said, "Go to this little well in the town of Sychar and talk to a woman there. It'll be productive." And so he walks, and his disciples are like, "Lord, you want to stop here? Lord, you want to talk to this woman? What's going on?" But of course, it was a very fruitful time, because he talked to one person, and then the whole town came out and accepted him. But it's because morning by morning he learned to hear his Father. And how fruitful we can be in our lives when we do that. And of course, I'm speaking to you here, you know, with a desire to do that. That's a challenge. Lord, I want to hear you afresh. Sometimes I feel so dull, you know, compared to what the Lord wants to do. Lord, open my ear. I want to hear you afresh. And so we can come to the Lord every day. Lord, cause me to hear you afresh today as we open up his word. You know, Lord, I try to do that before I start reading. Lord, don't just let it be words. Give me a nugget. Give me some life here. Of course, sometimes I get through it and there's no grand revelation or anything, but you know, he can bring it back to us. And we want his Spirit to speak to us if we'll come to him. And so God wants to bring new power, and the power of his voice into our lives, to break the cedars of Lebanon, to bring a new anointing, fresh garments, new life, to reign over the floods, to have control of them. And so let's seek the Lord afresh today and kind of make that commitment. Lord, I want to hear you morning by morning, or whenever your quiet time with the Lord is. Maybe it's evening by evening. David used to wait on the Lord in the nights, right? In the night hours. He used to look forward to that. My heart looks forward to the night watches, you know, more than they that wait for the morning. I want to wait on the Lord. And let's purpose in our heart to do that. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for the power of your voice, for how you speak to us. Lord, we acknowledge that it's only your word that preserves us, that keeps us, that gives us any life in this world. Lord, we believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and we know that it comes through the power of your voice operating in our lives. And so, Lord, we just give you our hearts, Lord. Just acknowledge times where we haven't sought your voice in the past, and Lord, there's times when we neglect it, and we don't hear it, or sometimes we hear it and we do something else. But Lord, we just ask you, would you give us hearts, Lord, to seek your voice, and give us ears to hear you in a fresh way. Lord, as you did in David's life, Lord, would you dig out our ears and unstop them and teach us to hear your voice and to be led by your Spirit day by day and to be open to it, oh Lord, and open to your working. Lord, we just pray that you would speak to us afresh, Lord, your words of life, and that you would bring health and healing, that you would bring strength and direction and guidance, we ask. Lord, and we just give you all the praise and honor and glory, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor Jason.